Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
When you get to 1 Chronicles chapter 16 in your Bible reading, that is if you can survive 1 Chronicles chapter 1 through 1 Chronicles chapter 10, where you read, you know, just name after name after name, you get through all of that and get to 1 Chronicles chapter 16, the Ark of God has now been brought to the tent that David pitched for it. They've offered burnt sacrifices and peace offerings. There's a tremendous celebration going on. David deals to every one of Israel, man and woman, a loaf of bread, a good piece of flesh, and things are in place now to praise the Lord. And in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 7, then on that day, David delivered first this psalm to thank the Lord, and he gave it into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. And then the psalm begins at verse 8, and it goes all the way down to verse 36. And in this psalm, if you break it down into pieces, there are some tremendous truths in here. And today what we're going to do is we're going to look at the first two verses, 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 8 and 9, and we are going to be looking at the God of praise, the God of praise. For instance, in the next broadcast, we will be looking at the God to seek, which you see in verses 10 and 11. But today, the God of praise. The psalm begins and says, "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works." Those two verses right there are tremendous in that they give us great instruction about praising the Lord. So you see, our God is the God of praise. And so it's very important for us to know how to praise him. And David, in this psalm that he writes that is recorded in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 8 and 9, David tells us what we can do that will praise the Lord. We praise the God of praise, first of all, with thanksgiving. He says, "Give thanks unto the Lord." Give thanks unto the Lord. You know, there are a lot of people who are Christians, and there are a lot of people who call themselves Christians, but they're not very thankful people. As one friend of mine says, we need to develop the attitude of gratitude. And it's an amazing thing. Those who are Christians who are thankful have such a different spirit than those who are always complaining and always begging God for something. You see, when a person is thankful, he is constantly aware that everything in his life that's going on is either being directed by God or provided by God or controlled by God or protected by God. And he's aware, or she's aware, that God deserves thanksgiving for everything that has gone on or that is going on in life. And when we read in the New Testament, we find that that is exactly what we as Christians are supposed to do. If you turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, you see this admonition of thanksgiving. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Notice what he says. "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." May I tell you something? There are many people I know that concern themselves with being in the will of God. And if you want to know whether you're in the will of God, okay, if you want to be sure you're doing something that is keeping you in the will of God, then I'll tell you what to do. Thank him. In everything. That's right. You say, well, what if something I'm going through is not a good thing? Thank him. You say, well, why should I? Because the Bible tells us in Romans 8:28, all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So if you know that you're called according to his purpose, and if you love God, then you know that what you're in right now may not of itself be good. But you know that what you're going through, coupled with everything else, is good. And so it's the will of God that we give thanks to the Lord in everything. Because it shows that we trust him, that we know he's in control, and that we appreciate. We appreciate what he's allowing us to go through for his glory and for his honor and for his praise. I had a person, and listen, I made this distinction myself. I had a person recently come to me and said, I found a great deal of comfort. I don't have to thank the Lord for everything. I just need to be thankful in everything. I've said that for years, but I stand corrected. Because Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20 says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, not only to be thankful in a situation, but for a situation, for all things. Now you look at that, and when you see Ephesians 5:20 is telling you to be thankful for all things, then that means you can thank him for the broken leg, and you can thank him for the rest of those bad things that happen. I don't like it when I talk about it any better than you do, particularly if we're going through it. But the truth of the matter is, if we are thankful to God, then listen. He knows that he is being praised by you, and he is being praised by me, because we trust that the thing that we have gotten into was not accidental or circumstantial, just a product of our circumstances or other people's stuff. God actually allowed the thing to happen, and that it is for our good. And before we see the good that it's for, we can already start thanking him for all things. So you really want to praise God? I mean, there are a lot of people who go to church when everything is rosy and they throw their hands up in the air, you know, and then they're like singing songs of praise that they really like, particularly if they have, you know, the popular modern beat and all that kind of stuff. Yeah, it's easy then. Bills are paid, kids are doing well, roof over your head, food in your belly, ha-ha, glory to God, you know. But how about when one kid's in the hospital and something's broken down in your life and the roof needs attention and don't know where you're going to get the money? And boy, I mean, if you've been responsible, it's hard then to thank God. But you know what? When you do, you're saying, God, I know this thing's going to work out. And he is praised by that. Okay? You praise the God of praise with thanksgiving. I'll tell you something else. You praise the God of praise with prayer. Notice what David said in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 8. Give thanks unto the Lord. Watch it. Call upon his name. Call upon his name. That's prayer. And you praise the God of praise with prayer. I mean, when you see Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane and he is there speaking with his Father about the cup that he is about to take, there is a lot of praise in that. Why? Because he is directing his concern. He is directing his attention. He is directing his voice to the God of the universe. He is talking to the only person who can do anything about his request. You see, these days, with Twitter and Facebook and email and cell phones and text messages and all those other means of communication and social media, people aren't turning to the Lord in prayer, not in long seasons of prayer. Oh, you may drop to your knee and say, now, Lord, I really need help here. And then, boom, you're going to your cell phone to tell everybody about the trouble you're in and how you want them praying for you. And you spend more time on social media asking people to pray for you and giving them minute-by-minute updates about the thing they're praying for than you spend in prayer with God. And I'm going to tell you something. God's not praised the same way when you're spending all your time on the computer communicating with people about what you're in versus on your knees in the privacy of your prayer closet talking to God about it. Do you understand? There's praise in one of those things and there's not in the other. You pray. And listen. We have a song called The Sweet Hour of Prayer, right? It's about the sweet minute of prayer now. People aren't spending the time in prayer today that they used to, and you can tell it because of the lack of godly involvement in the things that are going on. You know what this country needs? Prayer. You know what those that are in positions of authority need? Prayer. In Luke chapter 18, Jesus Christ spoke a parable, and he said this, Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Well, if he has to give you the admonition always to pray and not to faint, he is counting on you spending a season of time in prayer. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And then he goes on and gives the parable. But the parable teaches this. You got to stay with it in prayer. And you know what? When you do, God is praised because he knows you have turned all your attention and all your concentration on him to do something about it. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he gives you a quick little powerful admonition. You know what it is? Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. I wonder what that means. People say, I don't read the Bible because I don't understand it. I wonder what it means to pray without ceasing. I don't think the problem with 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17 is that you have a hard time understanding it. I don't think that's the problem. I think you have a hard time doing it. You see, God is praised when you and I take time on our knees, away from all distractions, away from all complaints, away from all murmuring, away from all social media, to spend time with the Lord God Almighty, talking with him. You want to praise the God of praise? Then praise him with thanksgiving. You want to praise the God of praise? Then praise him with prayer. That's right. You know, you've heard me and you've heard others talk to you about praying, and you say, you know what, I need to get around to that. Why don't you start now? Why not when you get home tonight, why don't you get with your family and say, you know what we need to do? We need to pray. And then before you go to bed tonight, pray. And then when you wake up in the morning, pray. And when you get in your vehicle and you start off to work, pray. You say, well, I like to listen to talk radio and catch up on the news at that time. And you know what? You get to work and you are stressed out about what's getting ready to happen in this country. You'd be better off to turn it off and talk to the Lord. Why? Because he's the only one who can really do anything about it. The Bible, you listen, I know there are people because of the election year that are all concerned one way or the other about the outcome of the election. May I tell you something? You know what the Lord tells you and me to do about that? He says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers. Did you notice he said, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Woo! Don't you know there are lots of people that are catching up on news way more than they're talking to the Lord about all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. My friend, you need to spend some time in prayer if you want to praise the God of praise. Let me tell you something else David shows us to do in this psalm. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 8. You praise the God of praise with thanksgiving. You praise the God of praise with prayer. And you praise the God of praise with witnessing. Verse 8 says, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. That's witnessing. That's telling other people about what the Lord has done. Like a friend of mine said, he said, you know, witnessing is really not nearly as complicated as people make it out to be. He said, witnessing is just one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. It's a personal testimony of what God is doing in your life. Now, I'll grant you, it does you a great deal of good to get to know your Bible, to know the verses of Scripture, so you can open the Bible in front of a lost soul and show him or show her from the Scripture what the Bible says about the condition of their soul, what the Bible says about the Savior of the world, and what the Bible says about their need to be saved and how to be saved. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like opening a Bible in front of a lost sinner and showing him or her how to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior or her Savior. The Bible tells us, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." It's an amazing thing how many people profess today to be filled with the Spirit of God and talk a lot about the Spirit of God, but would not dare go across the street to open a Bible and witness to their lost neighbor about the Lord Jesus Christ. Would not dare go next door and open the Bible and witness to your lost neighbor about the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't talk to others about how filled with the Spirit you are if you are not witnessing. If you are not witnessing. Now listen, I realize that you love God, and I realize that you love the Spirit of God. But when men and women are filled with the Spirit of God, the Bible says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the Word of God with boldness. Do you see that? And when you're filled with the Spirit of God, you are going to open your mouth and tell somebody about the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because the Spirit of God in you is going to have control of your tongue, control of your mind, control of your lips, and he is going to want to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he does, Jesus Christ is honored. Jesus Christ is glorified. You see, it's the ministry of the Spirit of God in the earth to manifest Jesus Christ to the world, to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ, to glorify Jesus Christ. In John chapter 16, in verse 13 and 14, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you." So that's what he's going to do. He's going to show you something from the Scripture, and then he is going to speak through you to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's great glory in being able to tell others what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for them in order to save their souls. This is what David shows us in 1 Chronicles chapter 16. You praise the God of praise with thanksgiving, with prayer, and with witnessing, because you're talking about him. And then you praise the God of praise with singing. Look at verse 9. "Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him," with singing. Now, here's an interesting thing. When you go to a modern worship service, praise and worship service today, you're going to hear loud music, and you're going to see people up there that are performing and leading, quote unquote, the singing. And you're either going to hear a performance, they're going to sing a concert type song, and you're going to hold your hands up and sway back and forth, talk about how good it is. Or they're going to get you singing a chorus, something that you can learn very easily and repeat many times. So there's, you know, the truth of the matter is, what's going on, the praise that's going on in modern services today is very shallow. Like a person said, a mile wide and an inch deep. It's very shallow. There's very little doctrine in it, very little meat to it. It's very shallow. It's emotional. It's sentimental is what it is. All right, and then you go to a church that's more like a mainline denomination that has a traditional service, and the preacher gets up and preaches a traditional message, and they sing a few hymns out of the hymn book, and nobody's singing. The song leader's up there, and the choir is up there, but the people in the pews are just mumbling through the words. So I say all that to say, if you are a traditional person and you want to be in a traditional service where nobody sings, they just mumble through the words because you don't believe in this modern stuff, or you go to the modern service because you say, "I'm not going to do the traditional thing. Nobody sings, and I'm going to sing, you know, the name of Jesus over and over again 15 times and call that the song." You know what? Neither one of those is really praising God. Because when you see the psalms that are written in this book that are songs to be sung to praise God, there's doctrine in them. They can teach you and admonish you. It's very different than the modern worship service and very different than the modern traditional service. You see, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 to do this about singing. Speaking, verse 19, speaking to yourselves. So the singing is supposed to allow you and I to hear what the other one is saying. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So you ought to be singing loud enough for other people to be able to hear you. And what you sing should have something to it. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn to Colossians chapter 3 so you can see the substance. It's loud enough to be heard by others. It's sung to the Lord. And then Colossians chapter 3 verse 16 says that when you sing, you are teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Guess what? It's doctrinal. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. So singing that praises God is a psalm or a hymn or a spiritual song. And it's loud enough to be heard by others that are next to you. It's sung from the heart in praise to the Lord. And it has enough doctrine in it to teach and admonish the others that can hear it so that the word of Christ can dwell in you richly. That's the kind of singing that praises the Lord, according to Paul the Apostle. And you praise the God of praise with singing. And then he gives us one other thing in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 8 and 9. You praise the God of praise with thanksgiving. He says, give thanks unto the Lord. You praise the God of praise with prayer. He says, call upon his name. You praise the God of praise with witnessing. He says, make known his deeds among the people. And you praise the God of praise with singing. He says, sing unto him. Sing psalms unto him. And then finally this. You praise the God of praise with fellowship. He says in verse 9, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Talk ye of all his wondrous works. In other words, when you and I get together as Christians to have fellowship, you know, it's not, I mean, we're going to talk about hunting and fishing, or you're going to talk about shopping, or you're going to talk about something you saw, some news report you heard, or what's going on with the politics. You're going to do some of that. That's people. That's how we communicate. You know, nothing inherently wrong with that, unless every time you get together with Christians, that's all you talk about is basketball and football and sports and recreation and hunting and fishing and shopping and clothes and, you know, gossip and all that other stuff. Unfortunately, that's what sometimes happens among Christians. When they're not sitting down listening to the preacher talk, then they're talking about all kind of stuff that's worldly. And you know what the Lord says right here? He says, talk ye of what? Of all his wondrous works. When we get together as Christians, we ought to be talking about what God's been doing in our lives, what God's been doing in other people's lives. We ought to be talking about the Lord. Malachi chapter 3 verse 16 says, then they that feared the Lord, do you fear the Lord? I do too. Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Now you can be sure they're not writing down in the book of remembrance what you talked about concerning the outcome of a basketball game. You can be sure that what they're writing down is that these folks that are getting together that fear the Lord are speaking often one to another about the Lord, and the Lord's listening. In other words, when you and I get together for fellowship, we can praise the Lord by talking about the Lord. Listen, hasn't he answered some prayers of yours recently? Hasn't he blessed you with travel mercies? Hasn't he blessed you with provision? Hasn't he blessed you with answered prayer? Hasn't he blessed you with health? Hasn't he blessed you with anticipation of being able to see the Lord God in heaven? Listen, the best fellowship at home and the best fellowship at church is about the Lord. I suppose that there would be half as many church splits in the United States of America over the last 100 years if, when the folks got to church, they were talking about the Lord and His wondrous works instead of what they talked about that stirred up a hornet's nest and caused the church to split. That's right. Listen, the God of praise is praised by the fellowship of His saints when we talk of all His wondrous works. Be aware of the fact that God is doing wonderful stuff all the time. And the more you notice it, the more you're going to want to talk about it. And the more you notice it, the more you're going to realize that the outcome of some wonderful work that God has done is far greater in your life than the outcome of the ball game or the outcome of the hunt. We need to praise the Lord. And that's what David did as soon as they got the ark there under the tent that David had made for it, and he set up the people to start praising the Lord. He said, "Let's write a psalm." And he gave it to Asaph and his brethren and said, "Let's start praising God." And how do you do it? You praise the God of praise with thanksgiving. Listen, every day think consciously about all those wonderful things the Lord has done for you for which you can thank Him. And every time you think of something, thank Him. Even when it's something bad, because you know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You praise the God of praise with prayer. Call upon His name. Listen, add more prayer time to your life, and you'll be praising God more. You praise the God of praise with witnessing. Make known His deeds among the people. Go tell somebody, a neighbor, a friend, a co-worker, a family member, what God has done in your life. You praise the God of praise with singing. Next time you go to church, if you like traditional style worship, open that hymn book and sing out with all your might. Amen. And listen, you praise the God of praise with fellowship. Amen. Don't be afraid to talk to others, Christians, about the great things that God is doing, because there are many wonderful works we need to let others know God is doing in our lives and around us. And may God be praised when you do these things. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.